Ananta Koti Vaishnavindiki is Kanfonga Acharya Srila Prabhupada Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Rin Sika Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Srila Tagarada Srila Sivitavala. All glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly ladies, all glories to the assembly ladies. All glories to Shishi Guru and Kauram. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 32, 33, and 34. Okay, so we'll do 32 responsively. Tatra Sanjayam Asinam. At 32. Tatra Sanjayam Asinam. Papracho tigna manasaha Gavalgane qua nastato Vrido hinascha netrayo Patra sanjayam asinam Papracho tigna manasaha Gavalgane qua nastato Vrido hinascha nitrayo Tatra sanjayam asinam Prapacho dvigna manasaha Gavalgane qua nastato Vrido hinascha nitrayo Tatra sanjayam asinam Papracho jigna manasaha Gavalgane qua nastato Vrido hinascha nitrayo Tatra sanjayam asinam Papracho digna manasaha Gavalgane qua nastato Vrido hinascha nitrayo Tatra sanjayam asinam Papracho digna manasaha Gavalgane qua nastato Vrido hinascha nitrayo Tatra sanjayam asinam Papracho digna manasaha Gavalgane qua nastato Vrido hinasta nitrayo tatra bear sanjayam unto sanjaya asinam seated prapacha he inquired from udvigna manasaha filled with anxiety Gavalgane, the son of Gavalgana, Sanjaya. Qua, where? Where is? Naha, our. Tataha, uncle. Vreda, old. Hina, Hinacha, and bereft of. Netrayo, the eyes. In Hindi, we say chacha for uncle, father, brother, chacha. Translation. Maharaj Yudhisthira, full of anxiety, turned to Sanjaya, who was sitting there, and said, O Sanjaya, where is our uncle, who is old and blind? Please repeat. Maharaj Yudhisthira, full of anxiety, turned to Sanjaya, who was sitting there, and said, O Sanjaya, where is our uncle, who is old and blind? Text 33. Ambacha hata putrata pitrivya kwa gata surit Api maya akrita pragi ata bhandu sa bharyaya asam samana samalam gangayam dhukito patat. Translation. Where is my well-wisher, Uncle Vidura, and Mother Gandhari, who is very afflicted due to all her son's demise? My uncle Dhritarashtra was also very mortified due to the death of all his sons and grandsons. Undoubtedly, I am very ungrateful. Did he, therefore, take my offenses very seriously and, along with his wife, drown himself in the Ganges? Purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Pandavas, especially Maharaj Yudhisthira and Arjuna, anticipated the after effects of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And therefore, Arjuna declined to execute the fighting. The fight was executed by the will of the Lord, but the effects of family aggrievement, as they had thought of it before, had come to be true. Maharaj Yudhisthira was always conscious of the great plight of his uncle Dhritarashtra and aunt Gandhari, and therefore he took all possible care of them in their old age and aggrieved conditions. When, therefore, he could not find his uncle and aunt in the palace, naturally his doubts arose, and he conjectured that they had gone down to the water of the Ganges. He thought himself ungrateful because when the Pandavas were fatherless, Maharaj Dhritarashtra had given them all royal facilities to live, and in return he had killed all Dhritarashtra's sons in the Battle of Kurukshetra. As a pious man, Maharaj Yudhisthira took into account all his unavoidable misdeeds, and he never thought of the misdeeds of his uncle and company. Dhritarashtra had suffered the effects of his own misdeeds by the will of the Lord, but Maharaj Yudhisthira was thinking only of his own unavoidable misdeeds. That is the nature of a good man and devotee of the Lord. And the devotee never finds fault with others, but tries to find his own and thus rectifies them as far as possible. Text 34. Pitarya yuparati pandau sarvanaha sudrida shishan arakshatam vyasanataha pitrivyau kwagata vitaha. Translation. When my father Pandu fell down and we were all small children, these two uncles gave us protection from all kinds of calamities. They were always our good well-wishers. Alas, where have they gone from here? Om Agyana Chidamanyasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshun Tam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamrupa Paramam Bharavit Adantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopikanta Radhakanta Namaskate Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Charmi Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschapta Deshatarni Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Deita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gauravati Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse opens up with Yudhishthira inquiring from Sanjaya, where have my uncles and aunt gone? And it kind of similar reminds us of the first verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Dhritarashtra was in anxiety and he was saying, "Oh Sanjaya, what did the sons of Pandu and my sons do?" Do you remember? See, so here again Yudhishthira turned to Sanjaya and he's asking. So this is after the battle, what took place. So here Yudhishthira Yudhishthira is inquiring, "O Sanjaya, where is our uncle who is old and blind?" So within the Vedic culture, protection is given to the old, to women, all women from young to old, to handicaps, to children and the cows. Protection are given to these groups and it's very essential, very important. So Vidura, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari fall within that category. But then Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, they were also blind. You have to consider Gandhari actually blind too, because she would not take off that blindfold, you see. So that's added protection there. And then they were relatives of Yudhishthira. Dhritarashtra is father, brother. Father, brother is called Chacha in Hindi. We learn some Hindi terms, at least with relatives. And it's important that we give respect to these elders, father, brother, mother, brother, sister, and so forth. Mother, brother is called Mamu. Mother, sister is called... What? Mosi, Mosi, like that, and so Dhritarashtra is Chacha, and his wife is Chachi. So these are close relatives to Yudhishthira. So he has to give them protection, and not only that, but all their children, all their sons and grandsons were killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. So they were childless. And that by itself is a great offense in Vedic culture. Because the son is supposed to do the Shraddha ceremony for the parents, for the father and mother. And if there is no son, that's a serious offense. If you study the Vedic culture, then Then if it's stated if one does not have a son, he's not able to go back to Pitriloka and so forth. Of course, this was the time when Vedic culture and Varnashram Dharma was very prevalent. And so so these things are there. We know the story of another blind couple within the Ramayana, whose only son was killed by Maharaj Dasarath. If you remember that story, I think Anda and Andi, something like they were called, these were a blind couple, and they had one son called Sarwan Kumar. And he was taking them on a pilgrimage. And while he was walking along the riverbank, they were thirsty. So he went to the river to gather some water. And as his goblet was making a sound, as if like the sound of a deer, that time the Kshatriyas were so expert that when they, just by hearing the song, they could shoot an arrow and hit the target. So when he heard that song, he thought it was a deer, and he immediately shot his arrow and hit Sarwan Kumar on the chest, straight in the heart. And so then as the arrow hit him, he shouted. He made a human shout, and that's what realized, wow, I have shot a human being. So he immediately went to that scene. And when he went there, he saw Sarwan Kumar, and then Sarwan told him that I was getting water from my blind mother and father. Please take this water, I am dying. Take out the arrow. So Dasarath took out the arrow, and he took the water to the blind couple. And then the blind couple, they asked him to bring his son. And then they said that for what you have done here, then you would have to meet with this in your old age. So this also was how Maharaj Dasarath met his demise. He actually died with his children leaving for the forest. So Maharaj Yudhisthira is aware of this kind of situation. He is Dharmaraj. He knows he has killed all the sons of Dhritarashtra, if they were all rascals. Well, not all of them were rascals, but Duryodhan, Dusasan, and of course Karna and Shakuni, you see. But because of the fight, Bhima had made a vow to kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra, and so he took upon the vow. But not all the sons of Dhritarashtra were actually bad or inimical towards the Pandavas. We know of the story of Vikarna when Draupadi was disrobed. Vikarna was the only one that stood up and said that she should not be disrobed, you know. And Bhishma also, when he was talking to Yudhisthira, to Duryodhan, he said, except for you, Dushasan, Shakuni, and Karna, no one else here wants to fight. And there he was telling them when they were decided to fight or not, really. So the other sons of Dhritarashtra, they were not so inimical towards the Pandavas. In fact, they liked the Pandavas to some extent. But I guess because of family obligation, they fought on the side of Duryodhan. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was aware of this plight, and he could have been cursed by Gandhari, because Gandhari was powerful too. In fact, Gandhari was going to curse him, but Lord Krishna dissuaded him. And Gandhari called him and said, come. And she barely opened her scarf. She barely opened that patch on her eyes. And as she looked at Yudhisthira's toe, she just looked at his toe, and it burnt it to ashes. Or it scorched it. So Gandhari was so powerful that she, if she had looked at Yudhishthira, she would burn him to ashes. See? So powerful. But because Lord Krishna protected the Pandavas, and all the other Pandavas, Bhima was hiding behind Arjuna and or Krishna and so forth, because they knew. And even Dhritarashtra, with his pent-up anger, he was also, he had wanted to kill Bhima. And we know the story that when he, that iron mace, that iron statue that Duryodhana was practicing on, this Krishna pushed that to Dhritarashtra, and he squeezed that iron statue and broke it to pieces. So imagine the power, really. So anyhow, their anger was expended elsewhere, and so the Pandavas were spared. But of course, we know Gandhari cursed Lord Krishna for his generation and his clan to meet demise also. But of course, Lord Krishna took it in a positive way and sent back all the demigods who came to help him back to the spiritual world. So this is how things went. So in the Vedic culture, protection is given to all, to these groups that I said, old people. But if you look today in this world, I mean, the opposite is taking place, and this is only 5,000 years from that time to now, and look, the deterioration. Old people are disrespected. They're not given a voice. They're not protected properly. So many things. When they're old, they're sent away from the family to nursing homes, and so in Vedic culture, this is not so. The children make certain that the parents are home with them, and they're well taken care of and protected. This is still going on, like in India and wherever Vedic culture is prevalent. But in the other cultures, we can see that you know, one has worked his whole life for his children and amassed so much wealth and everything for them, taking care of them throughout their life. And then at the end, they're sent to the nursing home or isolated or live in isolation. So this is taking place. Now also Srila Prabhupada's disciples are all getting old, and we have to be very conscious of our culture and give all protection to them, all respect, all hearing, because they have a lot of wisdom. They have preached their whole life this philosophy and given their whole life to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. And so we have to develop this mentality of obedience and reverence and be very conscious of this. See? Old age comes to everyone. Eventually we also would be old. I mean, we're getting there already. The hair is getting gray and everything. See? So this happens to all of us, really. And so when Vidura was speaking to Dhritarashtra, he was telling him that your skin is wrinkled and your teeth are loose and you're coughing up mucus. But this applies to the whole world. Everyone would get old. This is a misery of old age. The fourfold misery is birth, disease, old age, and death. So birth has its miseries. Nine months in the mother's womb is misery. Diseases have its misery, so many forms. And then old age has its miseries. And with old age comes gray hair, wrinkled skin, dim seeing, the eyes become very dim, the hearing becomes very hard, smelling becomes bad, the teeth becomes loose, the skin becomes very wrinkled, the body becomes old and shaky and ugly. You see, all of these are the miseries of old age, and it's not that it would get better. But as all it steps in this will come. See? So Virura was telling Dhritarashtra that when old age, that you're in this condition, leave home and take Vanaprastha. Why you're hanging on here really at the expense of others? See? Well, this was part of Vedic culture also. It stated that the Vanaprastha, when he sees his hair start to get grey and his skin wrinkle and his hair is become diminished, then he should leave home and take to Vanaprastha life. See? But of course within our philosophy, in that same condition one can increase his preaching. See? There's no need to leave the wife and family. Maybe if one is single, then he can travel and preach. But one can travel and preach with wife, or leave wife home and travel to temples and preach. However, but this is our practice, rather than leave home and go into the forest. This was for another age, you see. But when Vidura was heavy with Dhritarashtra, another important point it brings up here is that the handicaps, and this is, I mean, Dhritarashtra was a handicap. He was blind, you see. And to send a blind man into the forest, it's not easy. I mean, he can be attacked by tigers and snakes and so forth. But somehow Vidura still urged him to renounce. But of course he went with his wife and of course Vidura also went. But this is also a lesson, because the human form is very difficult to achieve. This human form is being achieved after millions and millions of birth. We have traversed all the different species in the animal and plant kingdom, then come to this human form. You see, so it's very rare and very difficult to achieve. You see? So despite one's position, it is enough once one has a human body, even if one is blind or deaf or dumb or lame, he can still take to devotional service. And this is shown in the case of Dhritarashtra. You see? Vidura urged him on to take. I mean, of course, he did not take the pure devotional service, but he was able to take to some part of the yogic process. See? So, but this is also an important lesson. And so we should learn from this. I like to read a little part of Dhritarashtra and Gandhari's plight with the Pandavas. I mean, sometimes people would think that they were inimical towards the Pandavas, but they were not totally. And so I'll read a little part here. Also, Dhritarashtra had wanted to know the position of Krishna. Dhritarashtra then ordered Vidura to summon Vyasadeva and Gandhari, and thus the real truth about Krishna and Arjuna is as follows. So Sanjaya, this is what Sanjaya is telling the congregation there. He says, Lord Krishna and his eternal associate Arjuna have appeared upon the earth by their own will in order to execute their mission. My dear king, you should know that if the entire universe were placed upon one side of a scale and Lord Krishna on the other, then Krishna would prove to be heavier. Indeed, if he so desires, Krishna can reduce the entire universe to mere ashes in but a moment. Similarly, if all of the living beings within the universe were to attack Krishna simultaneously, they could never vanquish him. Lord Krishna is the supreme controller of even the sun and the moon. Making the Pandavas his instruments, the Lord desires to kill your wicked sons, for by doing so, he will accomplish his mission of relieving the earth of its burden. So Dhrisarashtra is saying, Dhrisarashtra then asks, O Sanjaya, how is it that you know so confidently that Krishna is the Supreme Lord of the universe, whereas I do not have such firm conviction? Sanjaya replied, O King, due to the influence of gross ignorance, you lack faith, and because of this you cannot understand Krishna as he is. Dhrisarashtra asked, What is the nature of this faith which is required for understanding the supreme position of Krishna? Sanjaya replied, because I have given up all attachment to the illusory happiness of material existence, my heart has become purified. It is for this reason that I can understand the position of Lord Krishna when I see through the eyes of the Shastra. Dhrisarashtra then turned to his son and said, my dear Duryodhana, you should take shelter of Lord Krishna, for he is not the ordinary human being which you consider him to be. See, hear what Mr. Duryodhana would say. Duryodhana replied, my dear father, even if Krishna were to destroy the entire universe, along with all of its inhabitants, I would still never surrender unto him. Hear that? Upon hearing this, Dhritarashtra turned to Gandhari and exclaimed, my wicked son is bent upon destruction, for he always disregards the words of his superiors. Gandhari then addressed her son in a voice laden with disgust. O Duryodhana, you are such a rascal for ignoring the advice of your elders, and thus you will certainly bite the dust after being smashed by Bhima's club. Now I can understand that you were born just to give me grief and pain. Vyasadeva then said to Dhritarashtra, my dear son, please be assured that you are dear to Lord Krishna. If you follow Sanjaya's advice, you will be safe from this dangerous situation. So we see here this situation with Gandhari and Dhritarashtra. I mean, they were on these two sides. They want to do the right thing, but then they're persuaded by the wicked Duryodhana. But they were not completely inimical towards the Pandavas. They still had great feelings for the Pandavas, and they still had wanted to avoid the war. You see, but because Duryodhana was bent on this, and of course we know because the Lord wanted to vanquish all these demonic kings, then this took place. See, so of course sometimes people would think that that because Gandhari and Dhritarashtra were the parents of Duryodhana, they were on his side fully. But it was not like that. He was not. They were not supporting him fully. I mean, most times they were against Duryodhana. Just a few times they would relent because he would, tell them that he would go kill himself, and so forth, really different things. So that's why they were bent on these things. But also Srila Prabhupada wrote here that because of his leniency towards Duryodhana, then he himself had to also suffer somewhat. And this was due to his own decision. that he had to lose all his children, because in some ways he was supporting Duryodhana also, you see? And so he lost all his children, and he was warned over and over and over again. And then the last point that Srila Prabhupada made, that is, a devotee does not find fault with others, but he tried to look at himself for faults and try to rectify his disposition. But he overlooked, Yudhishthira overlooked Dhritarashtra's faults. See? He did not he did not bring it up. He just leave it as it is, and he protected them. And of course it was stated there that the last verse was saying that Yudhishthira said that they protected us. Vidura and Dhritarashtra protect us when we were small. And we all know the story when Pandu went into the forest to hunt, and he shot a deer that was copulating. And then it was actually a sage and his wife, took the form of deer, because illicit sexual connection is not allowed in the human form. So they decided to take a deer and copulate. And so when Pandu struck the deer turned back into a human person. You see? And so he had to die. So when Pandu died, we know the whole story. I mean, when he would touch Madri, he died. And so when that happened, then the five Pandavas, the brothers, they had to go back to the Dhritarashtra. And the Dhritarashtra would care for them and protect them. Of course, we know, I mean, there were a lot of fighting between the boys, you know, between Bhima and the boys, really. I mean, Bhima did not do that off because of envy or anything, because he was just strong. But Dhritarashtra protected them, and then, of course, we know when Duryodhana was plotting to burn them in that house of Shelak, then Vidura would send news to the Pandavas and tell them how to protect themselves. So Yudhishthira was also lamenting on these, that these uncles protected us when we were small. Now that we've grown up, all I've done is kill Dhritarashtra's sons. So he was thinking like that. But so a devotee looked for faults in himself, and don't look at the faults of others. So I'll stop here if there's any correction, addition. Okay, we'll double up on the voice. Yeah, you want to say something? Yeah, Prabhuji. So Prabhuji, Pundarika Prabhu says it is very difficult to rectify your faults because you're not aware of it. That was the point. Yes. So he's saying that sometimes bad habits is part of our nature, and it's difficult. Well, devotional service is so powerful that as one engages in it, the heart becomes softened, the heart becomes purified, and what we previous bad habits that we had are easily given up because of the force and the power of devotional service. Association with devotees hearing from the Guru, the spiritual master, listening to Bhagavatam and so forth. All these things brings about change in our heart. This is the thing, when the heart becomes cleansed, then all bad habits flies away. Just like when lots of Srila Prabhupada disciples were hippies. You know, they were taking drugs, had long hairs, they were doing so many things, you know. Women hunting, so many things. Bring it on. Bring on the sense gratification. And as soon as they met Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was so powerful, and the force of devotional service and prasadam was so powerful that these hippies gave up everything and become happy. You see? So it's in, you know, bad habits can be given up. You know, it's not permanent. It's, you know, these we acquire, you know, from previous karma, association, bad association, and so forth. See, but the power of devotional service, what can make a dumb man speak and a layman walk? See, so, yeah. Any more? Yes, Mother Sakada? You can slip off your, Okay.
And I guess that Mahabharata, you know, it shows the human side of these great souls, because Girgandhari herself is saying that her son is wicked and that he's taken birth just to give her trouble, but yet with her powerful vision, she's trying to protect him from being, you know, killed and giving him the strength to, like, do harm to others.
Yeah.
I guess that's just the way it is, human nature, that you protect your...
Yeah, yeah. Very good point. Very good. So Marasukada is saying that Gandhari, even though she liked the Pandavas too, but yet she was on the side of her son. She was protecting Duryodhana. When the battle was about to go on, she called Duryodhana to come here, come naked. So Duryodhana was walking down naked to go see Gandhari. And then Krishna appeared, you know, well, Krishna, the all-knowing Lord. Krishna vowed to protect his devotee. If he didn't do that, then Duryodhana would have killed Bhima, you see. So Krishna wanted to protect Bhima. So when Duryodhana was strolling down naked to see Gandhari, Krishna says, "Duryodhana, where are you going so naked?" Duryodhana immediately, you know, covered his private part, and he said, "I'm going to see my mother." Krishna says, "Well, at least you should cover your waist, you know." This same Krishna is alone, you know. Krishna knows really what's going on. And then Duryodhana covered his waist. So when Duryodhana went to Gandhari, and Gandhari took off her veil, she immediately made his body like steel. But she was annoyed, she was upset. She said, "Why did you cover your waist?" And then he said, "Krishna told me." but the thing is, he was tricked by Krishna. And this is the Lord, you know. He's protecting his devotee at any cost. Yeah, yes, Mother Sukala. Yeah, to give him. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So Marasukara made another point that when Duryodhana was just born, the asses were braying, jackal were screaming, and crows, vultures, all the inauspicious men were there. And so the sages told Dhritarashtra and Gandhari to give up this child. He would be a destruction to the race. But because of family affection, it's so strong, that bond is so strong that they, and he's their firstborn, they could not bear to do that. You see? So this is human nature. And Prana Govinda is going to say something. Yeah. Yes, Prana? The what? He bit off her ear.
On the ear. So how do you apply this?
So Prana Govinda is saying that how do I reconcile that there was one boy whose aunt allowed him to become a wayward, and so he was sentenced to death, and then he asked to see his aunt, and when she came, he bit her ear off because she was the cause of his being bad. See? So Prana is asking me now how to reconcile this with Duryodhana's situation. Yes, of course. The parents have to discipline the children from small state, from small until they're what, 16 years or 15? I know Lord Krishna says when a child is 14, the child can be tried as an adult. I mean, I read that in Srimad Bhagavatam. But so anyhow, yes, parents have to discipline children. But Duryodhana, if you read the pastime of Duryodhana, no one could have disciplined him. But of course, we also know, and this is what we have to keep behind our head, that he came to destroy the Kshatriya race. That was his portrait. So all of this also had to happen. But in general situation, every person should discipline their child, and for devotees especially, train them to chant and follow the principles and chant 16 rungs. Because most of the youngsters now, they're not chanting 16 rungs. I notice most of the children now, they're not chanting 16 rungs. And so we have to fight very hard. In fact, sometimes every day I have to remind my kids, not even to chant 16 rungs, but to chant, you see. So parents, discipline your kids and let them chant. Okay, I'll stop here. Oh, Prana Govinda has one more point. So,
I have the letter right here.
Yeah. So Prana Govinda is saying that Srila Prabhupada left home because the family wouldn't take him seriously. And so when he left early, then probably they realized his work. So he said also for us, if we're not following Prabhupada instructions, and this goes to all devotees, if we're not following Prabhupada instructions, then how would the children take us seriously and others? See, so these are some good fundamental points. We have to be very strict in our vows and our service, sadhana, everything. so that we can be great good devotees and preach and continue Prabhupada's movement, spread this yoga dharma all over the world, to every part of the world, every nook and corner. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.